Please turn with me to Genesis chapter 37. I'll be reading verses 4 to 8 and 18 to 28. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. Now, Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf." His brothers said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us, or are you indeed to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Verses 18 to 28. They saw him from afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams." But when Reuben heard it, he rescued him out of their hands, saying, "Let us not take his life." And Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but do not lay a hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand to restore him to his father." So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore. And they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat, and looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming down from Gilead, with their camels bearing gum, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers listened to him. Then Midianite traders passed by, and they drew Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. They took Joseph to Egypt. This is the word of God.
Good morning, church. My name is Jackson. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, may you illuminate our hearts and our minds, that we will read and understand your word, and we will learn the lessons that you want us to keep. Bless this time we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today's topic is from Joseph. And it is, as we have read earlier, is from Genesis chapter 37. But because Genesis 37 has many verses, 36 verses, so I only read some of the verses, but actually I'll be covering the entirety of the chapter. So if you have your Bible with you, I will encourage you to keep it open in Genesis 37, and I'll try to go through the verse and try to expose it, the lessons that we can learn from it. Now, have you ever had experience with favoritism? Have you ever had experience with favoritism? Be it others who chose someone else over you, or maybe you're the lucky one, they chose you over others, or perhaps you were the one who's practicing favoritism and you chose someone over others. Now, as I checked the dictionary, and it defines what favoritism is. It says that favoritism is simply the giving of preferential treatment of someone more than the rest. It's giving of preferential treatment to someone more than the rest. Now, we all, in a way, practice favoritism to a very small degree because we all have our favorite things, right? Let's say, for example, if I have many toys, I like one toy more than the rest. There's many kind of food. Perhaps I like chicken rice more than char siu rice and so on, right? We have our own favorite things. But the thing is, favoritism is more than that. It's really into involving the relationship and emotions of a person. And that's why it's dangerous. Because the danger of favoritism is that you run the risk of visibly and demonstrably loving others lesser. That means if there's a group of people, let's say the BB and GB, but I only love one of you and one of you, and it's visibly, very, very visible, and it's demonstrable that the things that I do, the actions I do, it's only just for that individual. It is very, very noticeable to other people. And others will all felt that, hey, I'm loved much lesser. And that's the danger of favoritism. And favoritism blinds us from seeing objectively the matters that are important that God wants us to see or know. Favoritism will blind us from seeing objectively the matters that and the important things that God wants us to see or know. Now, in the story that we read in Genesis 37, there was this old man, very old. His name was Jacob, and Jacob had 12 sons, right? 12 sons. And unfortunately, Jacob practiced favoritism. In verse 3 of the passage we read, it says that Jacob loved Joseph more than his other brothers. So out of the 12, Jacob only loved one. So sad, right? The other 11 brothers. Now, we do not know exactly the emotions behind Jacob, why he loved Joseph, but it was written in verse 2, a little bit of hint. But as I read some commentaries and scholars, there's a few guesses. Now, one reason was that Joseph was born to Jacob at an old age, right? Old age. And you know, you all know that grandparents tend to love little children more than the parents. Do you all notice that? Okay, like if your parents are, okay, you take care of your children, but you are very strict with your children. You make sure, no candy, no chocolates, no cold drinks. But when you go to become a grandparent one day, then your children say that, hey, no candy, no chocolate to their children. You say, no lah, it's okay lah. Let them have some candy lah, have some sweet lah. You know? So somehow old people, when they become older, you see more of life. You take it more easy. That come on, it's all right, let's relax. So maybe that was Jacob's thinking, because he was old now. He was of an old age. And Joseph was born like a little baby, so harmless, right? Although Joseph wasn't the youngest. Okay, there's another one who was even younger, that's Benjamin. But maybe that's why Jacob just felt that he's one of the youngest, so he loved him more. That could be one possibility. And of course, being one of the youngest, perhaps you're more lenient. The Reuben, who's the oldest, well, you will tend to make sure you must take care of your big koko, you must take care of all the titi, you must take care of them, you know, so give them a lot of responsibility. But the young ones, it's okay, it's okay. He's the youngest, he's so young, you all should give in to him. So it could be that also, right? So that's another reason. But verse 2 tells us another reason. Verse 2 says that Joseph actually reported to Jacob regarding his brothers. Okay, the Bible didn't say exactly what Joseph reported to the father about. Okay, but reporting in such case doesn't seem very nice. Maybe in his reporting, it got into his father's good side. He always come to Papa and say, Papa, Papa, you see, Coco disturb me, bully me, you know? Maybe he become like a complete kid. Then start to, then the father will, sayang lah, okay lah, it's okay, don't cry. So maybe that start to bring them closer. We have better relationship. The Bible doesn't exactly say what, but most likely it's for the brother's ill behavior that Joseph was complaining about. Because we could see from later stories that the brothers, they could be quite lost. Sometimes they're wayward. They were disobedient. And they were even conspiring to murder, lies, and even visiting prostitutes, etc., etc. So Joseph, he seemed from this biblical description, in fact, to be quite a very simple, innocent, straightforward kind of man. He revealed his dreams in very untactful and perhaps very unwise manner. Verse 4 says that, so Joseph was favored by his father Jacob, but he was hated by his other 11 brothers. But it was also stated in verse 5 and verse 9 that Joseph had two dreams. He dreamt, okay? Was it a vision? He was sleeping, but he saw these two dreams. And the first dream was this. He saw that there were a lot of sheaves of the plants that they could eat. And the sheaves that was growing up, and there were 12, okay? So then, those that the brothers have gathered bow to his. Wow, no, 11 bow to one. Then the brothers think, why you tell us this kind of dream? What are you trying to say? You're one of the youngest, no? You're trying to say that we will bow to you, ah? Of course, they get angry. And then in verse 9, he was had a second dream. In his second dream, he says that he saw the stars and the sun and the moon bowing down before his star. So now, this time, it's not just the 12 brothers. There's a sun and moon representing the father, mother. So even father, mother will bow down to me. You know, imagine your little brother come home and tell you this kind of thing. And say, hey, Koko Tse, you know not, you all will all bow down to me one day. Wow, you're angry. You cannot take it, right? You feel upset. Why? You're a little boy, little girl. What are you trying to say? What are you trying to prove? That I will bow down to you? So he could be a little bit simple, straightforward with the way he speaks, untactful, and perhaps unwise. And so the brothers hate him even more. But you know that interestingly, Joseph's dreams came true later. Do you know that? Joseph's dream wasn't just a dream, like he's daydreaming, oh, Koko Tse, brother, Koko, Papa, Mama, y'all will all worship me. No, it really came true later, okay? Akadatang, what will happen? We'll find out more in the next 2 weeks, all right? But Joseph, from here we see that he actually had divine and spiritual gifts of dreams. Yet, no one noticed that in the family. He was divinely gifted with dreams. Granted, perhaps Joseph, in his simple and straightforward manner, he didn't wisely put his words, only aggravate the brother's hatred. But if with good gifts, if he had known how to use it wisely and put across properly, then perhaps the brothers and family will be more receptive and worship and glorify God that, wow, our brother is blessed by God with dreams and interpretation of dreams. It's something amazing. But yet, it was unnoticed. I think a little lesson that we can learn from here is that whatever gift that God has given to us, don't just see that, oh, God has given me this gift. I will use it. No, just the way I want. But perhaps the gifts that God has given to us, we should also prayerfully, tactfully use them in a wise manner, such that it wouldn't be in a way that impose on others as well or provoke them to anger. Are the gifts that we are using helping to build up the kingdom of God and to help others? Are we tearing them down? So God was really using Joseph to interpret dreams and later on even to save lives and nations. God gave Joseph the gift of dreams, yet his family members rejected the divine opportunity to celebrate God's gift. The favoritism of Jacob for Joseph had blinded his other sons with hatred. There you go. That's why I was saying the favoritism blinded us from objectively seeing the important things that God wants us to see. The favoritism of Jacob had blinded them with hatred. And favoritism for someone runs the risk of visibly and demonstrably loving others lesser. So as a result, the brothers hated Joseph. And in verse 10, he blinded them from God's divine revelation. In verse 11, however, although Jacob rebuked the son, saying, who are you to say that we worship you also? But yet it said in verse 11 that Jacob kept the saying in his mind. And I want you to keep this saying in your mind too, verse 11, because I'll come back to verse 11 later. But how is your life today? Are you facing favoritism? Are you perhaps a culprit like Jacob, favor someone and love others lesser? Are you a subject of the favoritism, like Joseph, wow, everything good for you, but bad for others? Or are you a victim of favoritism like the brothers? How is your life like today? If you are a culprit, if you are a Jacob, then I want to urge you to stop practicing favoritism, because it blinds us from thinking objectively. It instills and invokes anger and hatred, unfair treatment among the people who are under us. It could be your children. It could be your subordinates. Perhaps you hold a rank, even as a BBGB, that if you practice favoritism, the rest of the people under you will feel it as well. Now, if you are a subject of favoritism, if you are Joseph, then I want to urge you to be tactful how you move forward. Pray to God and ask for God's wisdom, that you will continue to use this blessing, because you are being blessed, okay, to be favored by someone, to bless others. But perhaps you will need the courage to speak up to the one who favors you, to speak up to the Jacob, and gently reminding them to say, hey, pa, maybe you should also love Coco Zezé more. Lah. You know, it seems like you always just take care of me. They like not very happy. But perhaps we need that courage. Yeah, if it's your parents, sit down with them in an appropriate time and manner. Let them know that favoritism for you may be causing displeasure in others around you. And in fact, because you are the one being favored upon, you are the best person to speak to this Jacob, because the Jacob will all listen to you. Oh, yeah, okay. You are the best person to speak to someone who's practicing favoritism. But if you are a victim, okay, like Joseph's brothers, now I want to urge us to stay calm, all right, carry on, look beyond. Now your anger, if you allow anger to take over, if you allow hatred to take over, then it may blind you from seeing God's gift at work. So trust in God that He will bring about good and hope even in your seemingly rejection from the person of authority. If it's your boss, or if it's your teacher, or someone in authority, bring along someone and speak to this person, to this Jacob, about how you off you. Because if you go and speak to this person, this boss alone, or this father alone, you think it's just you only. Bring a few people with you and try to speak to them in the proper way about how you off you. And pray for the openness of this Jacob, that he will, from then on, practice fair treatment. Point number two, facing betrayal. Now, the second question is, have you experienced betrayal in your life? Betrayal when someone you thought you could trust caused you hurt by turning around and stabbed you in the back. Or perhaps someone turned around and got you into trouble. Or perhaps someone rejected you or even abandoned you. On Thursday, I was walking my 4-year-old daughter home from her school. I picked her up from school and we were going home. Then we were walking along the car park. And as we were walking along the car park, we are now living in Yishun. And in Yishun, the place that we live, there's a lot of pigeons. A flock of pigeons that's always flying around in the void decks and on the car park. So on the road of the car park, there's this big flock of pigeons. And suddenly a car just drove, vroom. Usually when a car comes, the birds will all fly off, right? But this time the car drove by, the birds flew, and I saw something happen. I saw that one of the birds was tumbling under the car. That was shock. Then I told my daughter, look, the car ran over one of the birds. And then we look, and there was the bird, okay, with his wing twisted and everything, okay? And then we were thinking, should we go over and help? But then came another car, vroom, a second car. And we saw with our own eyes how both sets of wheels, two wheels, ran over the bird and it tumbled twice. Okay, it's not a good sight, all right? It's etched in my mind and it's quite terrible a sight. And my 4-year-old daughter was with me. So we ran to the road, and the bird was hopping with a broken leg, broken wing, and it was hopping. It couldn't fly anymore, definitely. Feathers were all across the road. It was hopping to the side of the road. Then we were thinking, what can we do? What can we do to help the bird? And there's nothing. I was thinking in my mind, it's gone. You hit by a car twice, you're gone. All right. So I was telling my daughter, okay, perhaps not the best decision I made, but I say, just pray for it. So we just pray. We pray. We just stand there and say, dear Jesus, please help this bird. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I say, come, let's go home. Mama's waiting. Okay, so I thought, and then we tell Mama and everyone about it. But the thing was, the next day I was bringing my daughter to school. And when I came down, when we were walking past there again, I just want to see how the bird had died. Lah. To my horror, the bird was still alive. And it was in a corner. I don't know how he spent the night. And he was there alone, looking very, very terribly lonely and abandoned and rejected. And I emotions are well up in my heart, like, what can I do for this bird? It's just so sad because the bird had family. There was a flock of them. But after that, it was injured. The bird was all alone. And it spent the night alone by the side of the road. And to me, why I'm trying to tell you this story is that I just felt that pinch on Friday morning of that loneliness, that sadness of abandonment, rejection. Granted, the rest of the birds also can't help them, can't help him. The family flew away and left him all alone. And I just realized that that's how betrayal could be. And if that caused me to feel so sad and emotional about what I saw, there's so much more when a human being that we trust and love turn around and betray us and abandon us and reject us. It's so much more worse than that. Now, I checked the definition of betrayer, and simply betrayer is to give over to an enemy. And, of course, it includes the betrayer of trust, which simply means that when people you trust turn around and hurt you and get you into trouble. Joseph's brothers hated him. But the Bible didn't say anything about Joseph knowing that. Do you know that? Joseph told one dream, the brothers hated him. He still go ahead and tell another dream, you know? He's like, no, just happy-go-lucky. But he innocently and too directly told people regarding his divine dreams of visions and invoking their anger. And in verse 13 to 16, he obeyed his father Jacob. The father Jacob said, your brothers are all pasturing. Go and find them and report to me how they are doing. So he said, yes, sir. So Jacob went and couldn't find the brother. And then someone tell him the brothers have gone even further. And he went all the way further just to look out for the brothers who were pasturing the sheep. And the way I read this passage in verse 13 to 16, it seems like he was excited. He wants to find his brother to see how they're doing so he can report back to the father. But unknowingly to him, in verses 18 to 20, the brothers actually conspired to murder him when they saw Joseph approaching from a distance. That's how much they hatred. Have you ever looked at a young brother and said, I want to kill him? But, you know, sometimes he says, ah, I'm so naughty, I just want to kill you, but we don't really do it, right? We don't do it, right? But here, they really, really conspire to want to kill the younger brother. And it's really terrible. Verse 23, first of all, Joseph came. Hey, Koko, how are you doing? Good. And you know what they did? They stripped him of his robe. It was a colorful robe. In verse 3 that we saw that the father Jacob had given to Joseph. The robe, in fact, one of the scholars wrote that, biblical scholars wrote that the robe actually symbolized the special relationship between him and the father. The father gave him a robe of colors, but not to the rest. It was something special. And the stripping of this robe could be out of a hatred of the brothers, seeking to remove the favoritism of their father. But do you notice that from verses 23 to 28, Joseph was silent throughout? The Bible didn't indicate Joseph as saying anything. Similarly, Joseph went through the stripping by his brothers, those he trusted as a family, and let them lower him into a pit. But why was Joseph silent? Or at least, why did the Bible portray Joseph as silent? Perhaps it was because that these were brothers whom innocent Joseph trusted. He innocently think that, why did my koko remove my favorite coat, which Papa gave me? But it's okay lah. Maybe they didn't want it to get dirty. They want me to help him, help them with the sheep. Okay lor, okay, remove lor. But why did they lower me into the pit? Maybe it's okay lah. Maybe they just want me to go inside to help them retrieve something that they accidentally dropped inside. But how come they left me inside this pit? They never pulled me out. Why did they leave me in the dark? How come? Maybe there's a lot of questions going through his mind, but he innocently just went through with it. Joseph was betrayed, but he didn't utter a word, or it was at least not recorded any single word. And I don't think that he was usually, like, maybe he was fearful, intimidated, so he don't want to say anything, like so scared, no words come out. Because he seemed eager to want to meet the brothers in the pasture, and he wanted to visit them. And Joseph was betrayed at a moment when he trusted his brothers. He was like an innocent lamb led to the slaughter without even knowing it. But of course, then came the biggest kokor, Reuben, in verses 21 to 22. And for reasons, Reuben tried to help Joseph and wanted to rescue Joseph. But in Reuben's subsequent absence for a while, during lunchtime, I don't know where he went, he disappeared. But for whatever reason, he missed the moment during lunch and after lunch when the other brothers eventually took Joseph out from the pit and sold him off to some slave traders, the Midianite slavers, for 20 pieces of silver. So Reuben, for him, it was a case of too little, too late. Verses 29-30 says he was all lost. Reuben said, What should I do? What? The brother has been so off, what should I do? So it seems that Reuben was also all lost. If only Reuben had been more proactive and courageous as the eldest son, you know, he's the oldest brother, then Joseph would not have been sold into slavery into Egypt. And verses 31 to 33, they didn't have to cook up a lie to cover up that, oh, missing Joseph had been eaten by a beast. And verse 35, their father, Jacob, would not have mourned so deeply for missing his favorite son. You know, poor Jacob, he took the news so badly that he could not be comforted, and he wished that he would die and go to the land of the dead. And here they call it Sheol, which is the land of the dead, just to be with Joseph. That's how much Jacob loved his son and how much brokenness he felt. So now the question back to us, are you facing betrayer? I certainly hope that you are not the one who betrayed someone like Joseph's brothers. Because, of course, you don't need me to tell you that it's not the right thing to do so, right? But are you one who is facing betrayer? Are you one like the pigeon I saw is facing abandonment and rejection? Perhaps you were betrayed by someone you thought you could trust. Someone you thought is a very good school friend. And you pour out all your deepest secrets to them, only to find out the next day that everyone else suddenly knows your secrets because he spread it to everyone. Or perhaps there was someone you worked very closely with, a project mate, and you thought you could work with this person, only for this person to boast in front of everyone that he is the one who did everything, when in actual fact, you were the one who did the hard work. Or perhaps you are still healing from a broken relationship where there have been a lack of faithful commitment. Perhaps you are broken by such betrayal. You are feeling down right now and you feel like giving up in a world that seems to turn its back on you. My friends, I want to tell you that there is hope. Because if you believe that the God we worship is a sovereign God who is in charge of everything in this world, He is a God who will never forsake His people. God is sovereign in Joseph's life. Do you know that? Remember Joseph's divine dreams that everyone seems to just overlook? He had divine dreams. Who gave Joseph the ability to see visions and interpret dreams divinely? The sovereign God did. This meant that whatever misfortune that happened to Joseph's life, God knew. And God was still in control. The story of Joseph sold into slavery in Egypt continues our next two Sundays. So come back and listen to the story of Joseph. But you will see that Joseph later interpreted a couple more dreams. And one of them being the dream of the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And thereby, Joseph saved many lives. He saved a whole country and even eventually saved the lives of his family, including the brothers who betrayed Joseph in the first place. God was and still is today in control because God is sovereign. I'm reminded of a verse in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, that is printed on your bulletin. And it says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." And that was the same God who was with Joseph. The same God who gave Joseph the power of dreams was the same God who was with Joseph all the way far from home in Egypt, in a foreign land, and God was still faithful. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3 says, "But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one." And that is the same God who is with us today in 2019. The same God who was faithful and with Joseph is the same God who is faithful and with us. And that was the hope that Joseph had, despite the misfortune in his life. It is that same hope that we can have today. That through all these difficult moments of our lives, be it facing favoritism and hatred, to facing betrayal and rejection, God is faithful and is with us. And and all these bad moments, he will make it to become good in the end. Do you believe that? That is the hope for Christians. And there is this bigger hope that God not only understands, but God himself went through such similar ordeals and difficulties that Joseph had gone through. My final point, finding hope in rejection. Now, you may ask me, how did God went through a similar experience of Joseph? In this final point, I want to look at how the biblical authors have chosen their words in their writings and recording of the narrative stories and event which happened all these years ago. Now, remember I told you to keep the saying in mind in verse 11? Now, remember in verse 11, when Jacob rebuked Joseph's dream of the family stars bowing down to Joseph's star, remember when Jacob kept the saying of the dreams in his mind. Now, the similar thing happened in another story many years after Joseph. At a time when a child spoke to his parents that he would need to be in God's temple. That was Luke chapter 2. That was Jesus prophetically telling and foretelling his parents that he was to serve God, and that was why the parents couldn't find him, because he was at the temple. Jesus' parents were Mary and Joseph. Coincidentally, Jesus' father was also named Joseph. And Jesus' mother, Mary, it was noted in Luke chapter 2, verse 51, that Mary stored what she had heard in her heart. Jacob saw what Joseph has prophetically told about the stars, and he kept the saying in his mind. Mary heard what Jesus had prophetically spoken about his serving God, and she kept it in her heart. Jesus' life experience could be compared with Joseph's. Just as Joseph used his God-given gifts of interpreting dreams to serve and save others, so did Jesus use his God-given gifts to point others to God and to save others by healing them and other miraculous acts. Just as Joseph was hated, rejected by his brothers for speaking with his God-given gift, Jesus was hated and rejected by the Pharisees, the authorities, and the people he loved for his God-given ministry. Just as Joseph was betrayed by his brothers for 20 shekels of silver, Jesus was betrayed by his disciple Judas Iscariot for 30 pieces of silver, 10 more than Joseph. Just as Joseph was condemned and sold off by his brothers, Jesus was condemned and crucified by those he came to love and set free. Just as Joseph was silent throughout his ordeal, like a quiet, innocent lamb led to its slaughter, Jesus was a willing, sinless lamb led to his sacrifice for our sins. And Jesus, for the most part, was silent too. And to this end, many biblical scholars commented that Joseph was a type or a typology of Christ, giving Old Testament readers a glimpse of the coming Christ of the New Testament, how God's sovereignty and plan will be fulfilled in the coming Savior. Just as God in his sovereignty turned Joseph's struggles into opportunities to save people and eventually even rescue the very brothers who betrayed and condemned him, God in his sovereignty turned Jesus' suffering, crucifixion, and death on the cross into the rescue of people from a life of sin, even rescuing the very ones who betrayed him and condemned him to die. Just as Joseph eventually became a savior for his people, Jesus was and still is a savior for the people today. And that is why, my friends, we can find hope in rejection. For our Lord Jesus, he too was hated, he was rejected, he was betrayed, he was stripped, he was humiliated, and he was condemned. Yet throughout it all, God's sovereignty had been with Jesus, eventually bringing about goodness from this misfortune. And this is the same God who gave Joseph his dreams, the same God who never forsake Joseph, the same God who turned Joseph around as hope to save many others. This is the same God who gave us Jesus, the same God who was with Jesus, the same God who turned Jesus' death around as hope to save many others. This is the same God who gave himself for us, the same Lord, your God, who goes with you, the same God who will not leave you or forsake you, the same God who can turn the downside of your life or the facing of favoritism, hatred, rejection, the abandonment, the betrayal, and turn it all into something beautiful. In Jesus Christ, we can hope in a Savior who had encountered hatred, rejection, and betrayal. And just as Joseph finally returned eventually to save and rescue his family, in Jesus Christ, we can hope in his return again one day to rescue us from this world and bring us into the Father's house. And that is the hope that Christians can live in. Today, we celebrate with our Girls Brigade their 50th anniversary. And as a church, we will be going out to the community to give to them. Now, isn't the giving of our pre-loved items, it isn't giving of our services or the running and giving of our games or giving even of the food by the vendors to the community of need. We are giving Christ. We are giving the love of Christ so that the community can have a glimpse of the grace of God and experience the hope of Christ which we, you and me, have experienced. So later on, let us go as a people of God to give love, give laughter, give joy, give peace, and above all, let us give the hope of Christ, and let us give Christ to the people whom we will meet. In Christ, we can find the hope of a sovereign God who never forsake us and will return to rescue us. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we give thanks to you that you have shown us the way to God. We praise you, Lord, that through your life on earth, you went through rejection, you went through hatred, hated by others, you went through betrayal by your friend, you went through abandonment. Lord God, we thank you that you are God who understands. And you will bring us that hope that we need in our lives. Let us continue to hold on to the hope that we can have in you, Lord Jesus, that we will know that although we are facing favoritism, although we are facing betrayal and rejection, we can still be complete in you. We can still hold on to the hope that we can have in you. We praise you, Lord. And may you bless and watch over us for the rest of this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.